So I'm going to tell you a joke. I don't do this very often, but these are good jokes. Okay. A woman was worried whether or not her dead husband made it to heaven. So she decided to try to contact his spirit by having a seance. Sure enough, after the usual invocation of calling to the spirits, her husband's voice was heard answering, "Hello, Margaret, this is me." "Fred," she answered, "I just have to know if you're happy there in the afterlife. What's it like there?" "Oh, it's much more beautiful here than I ever imagined," Fred answered. "The sky is bluer, the air is cleaner, and the pastures are much more lush and green than I ever expected. And the only thing we do all day long are eat and sleep over and over." "Thank God you made it to heaven," his wife cried. "Heaven?" he answered. "What heaven? I'm a buffalo in Montana." In unity, we believe that heaven is here and now. We believe that heaven is a state of mind. Heaven, to me, is a world where we live in love and mutual support. It's a world where every person is valued for their perfect and unique contribution. It's a world where our emotions guide us to discover our beliefs and where conflicts bring creative opportunities. It's a world where we trust in each other's goodness. And I get hours of this, moments of this, and even hours of this now. But wouldn't it be cool if we could live in that world all the time? Mm-hmm. And that's what we believe, right? Mm-hmm. That's where we're headed. Now, there's a reason in traditional Christianity that Peter guards the gates of heaven, those pearly gates. Peter, representing our power of faith, can take us to heaven or turn us away. Has faith. So sometimes I ask God to give me an answer in the night. Do you ever do that? Go to bed and say, "Oh God, I need an answer. Please help me wake up with it this morning." Who does that? Yeah, I like to do that. It's pretty cool. And a few months ago, I was kind of in one of those times where I was questioning my path and my passion. Just felt like it kind of gone away. There are times in my life where I'm inspired and full of the breath of life. But this wasn't such a time. I felt discouraged. Like some of the conflicts that were happening, say, with my husband and within the church, just, you know, weren't resolving fast enough, and just, I was challenged with this. And you could call this a dark night of the soul. It was a transformational time in my spiritual growth, where I felt confused and lost. So, I asked for an answer in the night. And when I woke up in the morning, I got Peter, the rock. And at the time I felt, oh, I'm Peter. Okay, I get this, because Peter did all these things where he made all these mistakes. But he was still the rock. And this is where this talk originated, was from that night. I've been wanting to do it for a couple months. So, who's Peter? Peter is, does anybody know who's Peter?
One of the disciples of Jesus.
And when he was born, before he knew Jesus, he was called Simon, which means hearing. In unity, this signifies the receptivity and ability to discern truth. And Jesus changed his name to Peter, or Cephas, which is the Greek word for rock. So in unity, Peter represents faith in God. In the Merriam-Webster dictionary, faith is defined as a strong belief or trust in someone or something. And I especially like to notice that word trust. Faith is kind of hard to define. Trust is also hard to define. But when we think about the word trust, it takes us beyond that blind obedience that we think of as kind of blind faith. Trust is a choice. I did a talk on that a while back, yeah. Trust is a choice that we make, and it's usually based on love and reliability. So now Peter is the central character along with Jesus in several important stories in the Bible. I'm going to do this again. So in Matthew, Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and he sent the disciples out ahead of him in the boat. Oh, isn't that pretty? Yeah, I should have put that up before. Okay, so he sent the disciples ahead of him in the boat, and they were far from land, and the wind was blowing. And Jesus came walking toward them on the water. Sometimes I imagine I'm doing that when I'm paddleboarding. Okay. So here's what happened next. I'm going to actually read this from the scripture. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And another story told in all four Gospels, Peter claims he would lay down his life for Jesus and that he would never desert him. Jesus foretells that Peter will deny him three times before the cock crows. And indeed, Peter does. He denies Jesus, cursing and swearing an oath that he did not know Jesus. And afterward, he went out and wept bitterly. So, Peter is fickle. He wants to follow Jesus. He claims he will follow Jesus. But every time we see him step out to do this, only to fall just as often. And yet, Jesus called him the rock. He said he was the rock upon which he would build his church. "The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So Peter represents faith. Faith, this power, is ours by right. It's ours. We can use it to help or we can use it to hinder. To me, faith is like the rudder on a boat. If we use it to be and express truth and beauty and goodness, we stay on course. If we let that rudder go and founder in the sea of life, letting our thoughts steer us every which way, then we will crash on the rocks. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, his desire made him able to do the same. Faith can do that. But as soon as he was distracted by the wind, which in unity we see this as our sense consciousness, he began to sink. That's what Charles Fillmore calls it, the sense consciousness. He began to sink. And we do the same. We catch a glimpse of this heaven that we desire so much, and we begin walking on the water. And we do miraculous things. But then we become distracted, and we begin to doubt. We crash and we burn, and we disbelieve, and we fall away. Peter also lost his power when he became afraid. He denied he was a disciple of Jesus. He denied him 3 times, in spite of his very, very best intentions. And we also do this when we deny our Christ self, when we deny our goodness and our powerfulness, and when we fail to recognize our incredibly important place in this world. Okay, we're going to let this sink in for a minute, and I'm going to tell another joke. All right. So, a man named Jack was walking along a steep cliff one day when he accidentally got too close to the edge and fell. On the way down, he grabbed a branch, which temporarily stopped his fall. He looked down and to his horror saw that the canyon fell straight down for more than 1,000 feet. He couldn't hang on to the branch forever, and there was no way for him to climb up the steep wall of the cliff. So Jack began yelling for help, hoping that someone passing by would hear him and lower a rope or something. Help! Help! Is anyone up there? Help! He yelled for a long time, but no one heard him. He was about to give up when he heard a voice. Jack! Jack, can you hear me? Yes, yes, I can hear you. I'm down here. I can see you, Jack. Are you all right? Yes, but who are you and where are you?
I am the Lord, Jack. I'm everywhere.
The Lord? You mean God? That's me. God, please help me. I promise if you'll get me down from here, I'll stop sinning. I'll be a really good person. I'll serve you for the rest of my life.
Easy on the promises, Jack. Let's get you off from there, then we can talk.
Now, here's what I want you to do. Listen carefully. I'll do anything, Lord. Just tell me what to do. Okay, let go of the branch.
What?
I said, let go of the branch. Just trust me, let go. There was a long silence. Finally, Jack yelled,
help! Help! Is anyone else up there?
All right. Okay, so now let's come back to Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, who tells us that it's important to know that in these stories that you read, you are not Peter. You are Christ. This is what we're doing here, is rediscovering an awakening to our Christ consciousness. Peter is faith, which is one of your powers that you can use, and you actually need to train it. Charles Fillmore says, until faith is thoroughly identified with the Christ, you will find that the Peter faculty in you is a regular weathercock. You know what that is, right? Goes with the wind. It will, in all sincerity, affirm its allegiance to Spirit, and then in the hour of adversity will deny that it ever knew Spirit. When you have trained it to look for Christ in all things, under all circumstances, it becomes the conscious defender of the faith. So as we grow in spiritual understanding, we learn to connect and reside in God. We become ready to accept the fullness of our Christ self. So we can use the power of faith either way. We can use it to stay on course, or we can use it to founder. When we use our faith to stay on course, we're trained on Christ, but when we use it to founder, we may have faith in something else. We may have faith in some person or in a job or in a thing, food or anything. Unity teaches us that our 12 powers work together. We'll learn more about that on Tuesday with Donna's workshop. The power of faith is developed with love and strength. And together, these powers keep us centered in God. Our practical tools to do this are prayer and affirmations and denials. So if you fall away, reach out to Source, to God, in the source of love, in prayer, to be lifted up in consciousness. Remember what you know to be true, denying your confusing thoughts. Affirm the truths that uplift you and bring you strength, and pray and meditate daily or in any passing moment. Your faith gives you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. So whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. This is affirmations. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is denials. So faith is the first power. It's the rock on which our spiritual consciousness is built. So remember Peter and live and breathe the state of heaven. And so it is. Feel your feet connect with the floor. Feel your muscles release as you let go of all the concentration that we've had in this talk. Any tension of thought remaining as you just let these ideas sink into your subconscious. Just let go. Breathe again. Imagine with me now that you are the one in the boat. Feel the gentle rocking and the birds calling. The wind whips gently through your hair. Now across the waves to where you can just make out the faded image of a person coming towards you across the water. This is someone you know very well, someone you trust and love with all your heart. Someone who is indeed a part of you. You feel the excitement growing within you, and you leap up, feeling the water beneath your feet as you run to join your beloved. Suddenly, the wind picks up, and you remember in this moment whatever anxiety may be weighed heavily on your heart. Whatever it is in your life that's pulling you from the path of love and truth. As you focus on that thought, you begin to sink in the water. You reach out for help to the shining light of that presence before you, that manifestation of the center of your soul, and are lifted, supported.
energy held. Now rest in the loving arms of this eternal presence surrounding you as we spend a few moments in the silence. As we return to the light of this beautiful day, we give thanks for that guiding light that is our support in our journey of faith. Amen.